Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
Diaspora discourse, bringing Nigerians in diaspora closer home.
All right, the Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing positive Nigerian energy, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. Remember, we are the authentic source of Nigerian information. All right, this is the time for Diaspora Discuss on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. And as advertised, as promised, as publicized, we have our guest in the house already. We are talking about the one and only Lieutenant Victor O. Agumbiade, all the way from the U.S. Navy. All right, he's a proud officer in the United States Navy, currently mobilized to Camp Lemonia, Djibouti, Africa, as the disbursing officer, the Navy's largest cash disbursing operation, and has completed all the coursework leading to the award of Doctor of Business Administration, and currently working on dissertation and PhD certification. His skills, wow, include expertise in SPSS, Stata, SAS, and Microsoft Office. He also has Lean Six Sigma Yellow Belt. Ah, wow. That's serious. And he's very superb. Very, very superb leadership and team building skills can be utilized directly and making impact to the FTS program. But let me say, more importantly, Lieutenant Victor Agumbiade of the U.S. Navy is a Nigerian man known for his exemplary accountability. And the course of last week, he broke the internet, broke it with his integrous act of accounting for millions of dollars without one unaccounted for. And of course, that's why he's here. A proud Nigerian. We are very proud to have with us Lieutenant Victor Agumbiade. You're welcome, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me to your station.
All right. Okay. As a military man in Nigeria, we say twale. Twale, sir. Okay, double twale. All right. I'm not alone here. I have my colleague here, Aliyah. She's here with us. And we'll be having this interview, this session with you. And we are proud of you as a Nigerian. And like I said, you broke the internet. Let's start with that. You know, let's start this way. Let us establish your Nigerianness. Let's make sure you are a Nigerian. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Nigeria, where you come from, where you grew up. Which schools did you go to before ending up in the U.S. Navy?
Thank you. I was born in Nigeria. My late parents, actually, today is exactly 17 years ago that I buried my late father in Nigeria.
Wow.
So it's a very, very historic. Very historic day for me to be able to come online and talk about, you know, what God has done 17 years after I buried my father.
Wow.
I was born, my father's name was late Alfred Adetola Agumbiade, and my uncle was from Shiwo, very close to Ijebu, and my mom was from Ilese, very close to Ijebu Ode.
Okay.
So I was actually born in a street called Odiolowo in Ijebu Ode.
Wow.
But I grew up in Ishasa Street, where I attended my primary school education. I went to Christ Church Ogumolode, that is by Sabo. Then I went to secondary school in the great Uluwa College, now Adeola Otola College.
Okay, that famous school.
Oekosa, you know, there's always a contention between the Jokes family and the Oekosa, but
that's
I went
true.
To the Oekosa, yeah. Aitan College. So from there, I went to Abeokuta, then the great University of Agriculture, Abeokuta, now Federal University of Agriculture, Abeokuta, where I have my first degree. Bachelor of Agriculture, but with options in agricultural economics. And from there, I got employed. I served in Katsina State in 97, and then when I came back from Katsina in 98, I taught as a PTA teacher briefly at Baptist High School of Banikoro. Mm. And then from Banikoro, I got then the great Tinubu became the governor of Ogun State, and in 2000, he employed a lot of graduates. And I was fortunate to be one of those graduates that got employed in 2000, March of 2000.
Mm.
And then I worked with Lagos State Government as a research and planning officer with Agricultural Ministry, Lagos State Agricultural Ministry of, Lagos State Ministry of Agriculture.
Yes.
But I was actually assigned to a parastatal called the Lagos Agricultural Input Supply Authority. That is on the Ojo Badagry Road.
Wow.
And then it was from there I decided to venture overseas, and that was how I traveled to the U.S. in 2007.
Fantastic, fantastic, fantastic. I think you've done more than establishing your Nigerianness from the Ijebu angle. You ended up in Lagos, and now you're in the U.S. Army. Okay, tell us what it is like working in the U.S. Navy, the U.S. Navy.
Oh, I think it's a very great experience for me. It's been, you know, I always tell people the U.S. Navy is still the biggest, the world's finest navy, the biggest navy in the world.
Hmm.
One of the big things I've accomplished my job in the Navy is the opportunity to travel around the world. I've been in the Navy 13 years, 12 years and some months, and I've been privileged to travel to over 35 countries.
Wow.
And at no cost to my pocket. And
wow.
It's highly professional organization. You get reward for what you do, and you get enough remuneration, and the family is taken care of, you are taken care of, and it's an organization I would recommend for everyone that has opportunity to serve, that want to enlarge its capacity, and that's what the Navy has done for me. I'm a beneficiary of this great organization, and I'm very thankful to God. You know, I remember when I first came to U.S. 13 years ago, I had to pray to God to lead me to what to do. And, after I made my prayer, I had a dream, and in my dream, I saw myself in a Navy warship, and that was what led me to join the Navy, and I've never had any regrets so far, 13 years of my Navy career in the U.S. Navy.
My brother, you know, coming from Ijebu, I'm not sure it's prayer or this one that you are talking about. You know, Ijebus are known for spiritual prowess. Okay, but we thank God for your life. You've been a very exemplary Nigerian. We're so happy to have you today with us on Spirit of Nigeria Radio as we celebrate one of Nigeria's finest in the U.S. Navy. And okay, tell us about this award, this commendation that you got that broke the internet last week. One of the reasons why we're talking to you that qualifies you to be one of the Nigerians that we should be celebrating in the diaspora. One of the Nigerians that is flying high the Nigerian flag, shining bright that Nigerian light, and a worthy ambassador of Nigeria. So tell us about it.
Well, you know, I was a Navy officer recruiter in Washington, D.C. And I remember that day, my plan was to go to get another order and go to Great Lakes, Illinois, Chicago. And I remember I was driving that day with my wife to Tennessee. Along the road, I got a text message that my orders to Djibouti has been generated. And I did tell my wife, I said, well, that's it. I have to go to Djibouti now. And we started planning for it. It was a very, it was a life-changing experience for my family. You know, I just had a new baby boy then, and I said, well, I got to do what I got to do. But I didn't understand the extent of my job until when I got to Djibouti, and I found out that I would be in charge of the Navy largest cash disbursing operation.
Wow.
And the first time I saw money, and I mean money, I was like, this is money. I mean, I'm talking about money in bags. I mean, sealed.
Wow.
And for some days I was helpless. I'm like, so this is what people are running after. This is what people are killing themselves for.
This is Ghana must go.
This was not even Ghana must go. This was sealed from the treasury. It's like cement bag.
Okay, cement bag.
And it's sealed in cement bag. So I mean, everything we have call it brick. Then we have bags. So a brick of 100. So we have a brick of 100. That's $100,000. So when you put that, that 100,000, you have 16 of it in a bag. So a bag of 100 is 1.6 million. And I'm just looking at this is just 1.6 million. So I told my wife, I called my wife, I said, you will not believe what I'm seeing. That I am I'm the one in charge of all this money. This is crazy. I can't believe that this guy, this poor boy from Nigeria, will be the one that will determine who get this money or who do not get this money.
Hmm.
And I took that job as a secret. I took it as a secret honor.
Hmm.
And I look for every opportunity to make sure, you know, everything I do, like my father always tell me, what is worth doing at all is worth doing well.
True.
And he will always tell me, he say, always remember the son of who you are.
That's true.
And, you know, as I honor his memorial today, I remember that was the last promise I gave him. I said, Dad, I'm going to thank you for being a good father, and I'm going to take your name to places where it has never for once been mentioned. So now finding myself back to be able to manage that kind of large amount of money for the Navy, number one, was a great calling. And number two, I needed to remember who my father taught me to be. You know, and I have to do my job to the best of my ability and know that I have done everything they asked me to do, so that when I leave that place, I will not have any recourse for anybody to call me back to come and answer for something that was, you know, that was not right. So, and fortunately for me, I have guys that work for me. I call them, I encourage them, I say, guys, listen, we are a team, because I need to carry them on board, because this is, you know, this is money. I'm not talking about on paper. This is real cash. This is money. I mean, and so I took a picture of it with myself, which I would never show anybody. So I took a picture of money. I said, because when I leave this place, I want to be seeing this thing and begin to change my view about life. And I can also show my children to see that nothing in this life is worth dying for, because what you are struggling to get, while you are spoiling your father's name, somebody has it.
That's true.
So, and that was what I did, and I'm so thankful for the guys that work with me. I'm so thankful for the guys that work for me, and I'm so thankful for U.S. Navy to have entrusted that amount of, you know, I remember the first time I had to go and get some money, and I had to be in the plane. They have to charter a flight to take me only and my partner. And I'm like, just me? They say, yes. And I said, this is crazy. I can't imagine I'm the only one in a big plane with nobody. And it was a life-changing experience. It was, I'm most humbled by it. I'm honored by it. I'm so thankful to God, so thankful to the Navy, so thankful for everyone that supported me. My wife, you know, she always called me every day, telling me, do not forget who you are, you know. And some of my mentors, you know, I called one of my mentors back in the States. I said, Commander, you can't believe this amount of money they put in my charge.
Hmm.
And she said to me, Commander Singleton, she said, it's not your own. So don't even think about it. And I said, yes, ma'am. I just wanted to know that this is crazy. And I mean, but that was the extent of what I was exposed to.
Hmm.
And I thank God that we did our job. We went there, we saw, we conquered, and then we worked with utmost integrity, and I discharged my duty based on what I was called to do. And I'm so thankful that the Navy deemed it wise to honor me, to accord me the award, and I'm entirely grateful to them.
All right, so was it just an award, or you had any other cash, you know, to it? Did you get any cash award, or it was just that commendation that we saw all over the internet?
Well, you know, in the Navy, they pay me too well.
Okay.
You know, I always tell everybody, the Navy does not owe me anything, because they pay my salary on the 1st and on the 15th.
Mm.
And they've never failed for once to give my salary to my account.
Wow.
And I cannot complain. They take good care of me. They take good care of my family. The U.S. Navy is a truly professional organization.
Mm.
And I can tell you that they take care of their own. So it doesn't matter what rank you are. They give you what you are entitled to, and they make sure you get what is yours. So I think that is one of the privileges that I have to have served. So to answer your question, no, they did not give me any money to cash, but that award is more than money to cash to me.
Oh, yes,
because
yes.
They paid me my good salary, and with that good salary, I was able to give my family good comfort.
Okay, all right. Let us now situate, you know, this conversation into Nigeria, the Nigerian environment. You had $68 million to distribute on behalf of the Nigerian
Navy. About $45 million.
$45 million. Yes. Okay. Don't mind the internet people. That's why now they were talking about $68 million. But it's okay. Whether it's 45 or 68, it's still the same thing. Integrity is key. All right. Now, you are there in the US, you travel a lot, you know, with the US Navy, and you hear a lot about corruption, trillions of naira in Nigeria misappropriated, some of them embezzled, some of them mismanaged, you know, and here you are with $45 million, and you accounted for every single dollar worthy of commendation, you know, by the US Navy. Now, what is your take about, you know, the situation in Nigeria vis-a-vis corruption and the excesses that we get, you know, in the Nigerian space generally, whether in the private sector or in the public sector, in terms of integrity, in terms of, you know, corruption, and of course, more importantly, the anti-corruption fight of President Muhammadu Buhari?
I think when I look at it, I always talk to my friend about it. It's a very sad situation. And I think it's a cultural thing because, you know, Nigeria, there are incentives in Nigeria to be corrupt. You know, people, you know, I fall back to read Nigerian news every time. I remember a time vividly when a young boy was born on the street of Lagos because he stole bread. But we see all these politicians that will steal millions of dollars and we'll celebrate them because of what they are giving to us. I think it's a cultural thing. I think people tend to glorify those who they feel, you know, they can get something from. But I think that the way moving forward is for every Nigerian who are in political position to understand that it is a sacred honor to serve. And it is not going, you're not going, because I ask myself, what do you want to do with all the money? If I take $45 million away today and they declare me wanted, what do I want to do with all the $45 million? How much of it am I going to use to eat? How much of it am I going to use to buy a car? How much of it am I going to use to buy a clothes? How much of it am I going to use to buy a house? How many rooms in that house am I going to sleep? So people need to understand that all that they are running after, they don't really need it, because if the system provides for you, there is no reason for us to go there. And, you know, my father always tell me,
and
I think most Nigerians politicians, they threw that out of the corridor. You know, I was watching the video of the NDC guy that was interviewed at the Congress, and how he collapsed because they asked him to account for the money. I mean, to me, that was a public embarrassment to your family. And now my question is, if you know that you're going to be embarrassed that way, why do you do that in the first instance? And I think that is one question every Nigerian politician needs to ask themselves. If you know that this thing will bring an embarrassment to you and your family, why do you do it? Because number one, you are not hungry. Number two, you are not homeless. Number three, you have cars. So what are you stealing extra money for? You know, I look at the case of EFCC chairman of Magu, and I'm wondering that, how can somebody, you are the one arresting somebody, and now you are guilty of yourself? That is high level of hypocrisy. So what I'm trying to say is that Nigeria, there are incentives for people to corrupt, and I think the government needs to step up that those who are found guilty, there are no sacred cows. And when people find out that they can be accountable and they can be made to pay back for what they have done, you know, in the US, you have to keep every financial document for 10 years. But in Nigeria, when people leave office, they burn all the records. So the system allows people to actually be corrupt, because corruption is part of our culture in Nigeria, and it's a sad thing. And we need to understand that each time we are corrupt, each time we take all those money that need to better the life of our citizen, we are also mortgaging the future of our yet unborn citizen. So it's about the future, because we're going to live, we're going to look beyond what who we are now and what people need to remember us of. I mean, I never imagined today I'm going to be doing this interview. I mean, it's my wildest imagination. You know, not even my wildest imagination. But it shows that people are still rewarding integrity and faithfulness.
That's correct.
People are still going to reward integrity and faithfulness. And after all said and done about you, people are going to remember that one day in the history of my life, I one day have this interview with you, because of what I did somewhere that I was to the ground. So I need everybody to know that there's no reason for us to mortgage the future of Nigeria. You know, the most of these politicians, they have derailed from the vision and the dreams of the founding fathers. Nigeria is a great nation with great resources, with talent. You know, Nigerians overseas are doing great things. Proud Nigerians. A Nigerian doctor in Texas was the only doctor in the whole world that operated on a fetus and returned it back to the mother's womb. Nigerians are doing great things, but we need to know that, you know, when we invest all this money, resources to Nigeria, Nigeria has the chance to be, has the potential to be great among the community of nations. And it's sad to me personally to see the state of Nigeria today. You know, I spent over 30 years of my life in Nigeria before I came to America, and I have seen Nigeria retrogress over the years, and it's a crying shame. And we have the resources, we have the manpower, but it just misappropriated because of some few individuals who just became a cartel and mortgaged the future of Nigeria.
All right, thank you very much. That's been Lieutenant Victor Agubiade. We've been speaking to him on Diaspora Discuss on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. He is a man of exemplary accountability, commended by the U.S. Navy for purely accounting for $45 million without $1 being unaccounted for. And today we also celebrate the memory of his late father, late Alfred Agubiade, 17 years after. And may his soul continue to rest in peace. I'm sure wherever he is, he will be happy. He will be happy that you are doing this. Aliyah has a question for you. When you take that question, let her ask the question. We'll take a break, play you some nice music, the kind that you would like, and then we'll come back to listen to one of the founding fathers of Nigeria. Then we can take on, you know, your response then.
All right, Lieutenant Agubiade, I'd love to ask very quickly, considering your experience in the United States Navy, and then, of course, we want to believe that you've been able to see and understand how it goes down there. What would you say about the insecurity in Nigeria? Because we've been having issues with insecurity in Nigeria for a very long time. What is your opinion on insecurity in Nigeria?
All right, hold your breath, sir. Hold your breath, Lieutenant Victor Agubiade. When we come back, I know you've taken over this interview from us, and I'll give you enough space. We might even increase the time for you, because Nigerians, both locally and internationally, are listening to you. They are very proud of you. People who have been sharing that commendation all over. You know, I got nothing less than 20, you know, of it. But listen to this one. Just to remind you of home. This is King Sunny Ade.
Appreciation. Modupe. Onibuore. Baba Bope mi. Appreciation. Modupe. Onibuore baba bope mi. Appreciation. Thank you.
right, that is, or that was Appreciation, King Sonny Ade, and we still have with us Lieutenant Victor Agumbi Ade, award-winning Nigerian in the U.S. Navy, a man who accounted for $45 million, not one dollar unaccounted for. And we are celebrating him today and thanking God for his life and also for the life of his father, late Alfred Agumbi Ade. My brother, I believe you are saying appreciation to God and to Daddy. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, I am. It's time to go and to my little
All right.
Father.
Okay, Aliyah, over to you.
Okay, so before the appreciation in the sense, I asked the question as to regard your experience in the United States Navy and what do you think about Nigeria? What do you think about the insecurity Nigeria has been experiencing for a very long time? What do you think would be a permanent solution, you know, to be able to curb insecurity?
You know, it will take effort both from the government and from the people. But I think the main problem of insecurity in Nigeria is a complex situation. And I think it's not no single individual can give an explanation, can give an answer to it, but it's, I'll just share my own thoughts.
Yeah.
But it's a complex situation. But when you have a country where 80% of, I mean, about 80% of Nigerians live in abject poverty. You know, there is this saying that an hungry man is an angry man. So when somebody is hungry, then he can do anything. And I think that is one of the reasons that led all this kidnapping, all these killings, all these
banditry,
all these crazy things going in Nigeria, all this terrorism, all this stuff like that. Because this terrorist group are able to exploit the vulnerability of all these poor kids. So the main problem in my opinion, to insecurity in Nigeria is the level of poverty. When people live in abject poverty, poverty can make you to do what it never intended to do. So that is the first problem to insecurity in Nigeria. The second problem I see there is when you look at the proliferation of weapons, because most of these politicians, most of these rich folks, they want to destabilize government, you know, maybe because I don't like this government, or I want to make sure I destabilize the government so that I can use that opportunity to campaign for next election. So you see, those are, so it's the combination of both poverty and also politics. So it's and when you put poverty with negative politics, it's very, very, very explosive bomb. So poverty with negative politics. So most of those people who are perpetrating this evil, they need to understand that you cannot build your success, your joy, on another man's sorrow. It will not stand. If a government is in power, it's not the perfect person. Everybody needs to embrace the spirit of Nigeria. In the United States of America, it does not matter who is in power. When America has a problem, we all stand together as a nation. Irrespective of the enemy, we will address the common enemy. But in Nigeria, where the politics of the land is allow you to want to use opportunity to destabilize the person in power so that you can use that to campaign against him in the next election. I mean, that is the problem of insecurity in Nigeria. Poverty plus negative politics. And I want to encourage all Nigerians, good citizens of Nigeria, that Nigeria belongs to, you know, it's a crying shame that in 2020, we have, many of us have to leave Nigeria to seek greener pastures overseas when Nigeria has all the resources to feed us and we have abundance. And it's all because of all this craziness that people are trying to do to destabilize the government. You know, so my own, I mean, there are a lot of problems, there are a lot of reasons at this for it, but I just want to focus on the poverty level and the negative politics of those in power. So when we eliminate that and we address those two issues, I think Nigeria will be on the right path to becoming great among the community of nations.
All right, thank you very much. Still on security, sometime last week, the Senate, the Nigerian Senate, called for the resignation of Nigeria's service chiefs. because of the same insecurity situation. And President Muhammadu Buhari says, it's my prerogative to appoint and to sack. What do you think? You think the service chief should go or they should stay?
I mean, I can call for him to be sacked because I didn't put him in power. But one thing I do know is that it doesn't matter who we put in power. The problem with Nigeria is that the system, you know, Nigeria problem is a foundational problem. So it doesn't matter who you put there. We're still going to have the same issue when we don't address the problem from the root.
Okay.
You know, the problem is a foundational problem. I'm troubled when I see a Nigeria where the governor of a state is the chief security officer of a country and the commissioner of police is not under the governor. You can't have security of that state. So it's not about, the problem is not with the chief of the army chief or whoever chief. The problem is foundational problem. So if the Nigerian Congress or whatever, Nigerian
Senate
want to address the issue, they should address about how do we, there's been a clamor for true federalism. You know, I am a student of economics, and I teach a little bit about, I mean, to the glory of God, I study economics in America, and to the glory of God, I have first class in economics. So this, in every nation that are great, you allow every state to manage our resources and let them pay to the center. When we do that, then you'll be able to address what I said before. You'll be able to address poverty, because there will be grassroots political, there will be the person in power will be able to affect the grassroots people. That is how it is done in London. That is how it is done in America. That is how it is done in Canada. That is how it is done in all the nations of the world. In America, the mayor is in charge of the sheriffs. Then we have the state trooper. Then we have the FBI. Everybody knows their role. Everybody knows what to do. They all work in collaboration. They work together to ensure peace and order. So when we don't have that in the nation, it doesn't matter whether the Senate calls for him to be sacked and they put their own chosen one there. I can assure you, in another 6 months, they'll be calling him to be sacked, because the problem is foundational. And you cannot be addressing it from the top and think you're going to get a solution.
All right. Are you now saying that, will it be right for us to say that Lieutenant Victor Agunbiade is calling for state police in Nigeria?
I think state police has been long due for. And it's been long overdue. Because if you really want to protect, if you didn't want to, because I tell people, three things make a nation great. Security of lives and property. Are you following me?
I'm with you.
Stable power, where you have power, you know, you have security of lives and property, you have power. Are you following me?
I'm with you.
And then you have good roads. When you have good roads, when you have security of rights and property, and we have power, those are the three things that will drive investment. Nobody wants to come and invest. No foreign investor wants to come and invest in Nigeria when there is no security of rights and property. How do you enforce security in a rural area when the person that commands is in Abuja? I mean, it doesn't work like that anywhere in the world, any civilized nation of the world. How do you want to have good roads when the person that has to construct all the roads is in Abuja, in the office in Abuja? How do you want to establish power? So when we have those three things, that's why I said it's a foundational problem. And it's really troubling that in 2020 we are still having this. I still have to address this issue. You know, when I listen to Nigeria campaign and I'm hearing people saying, I'm going to construct good roads, I'm going to do this, it makes my heart bleed. Because I never imagined that in 2020, we're going to be using this to campaign in Nigeria anymore with all the resources we have.
All right. Thank you very much. I think you've been doing justice to all our questions, and we are so happy. And of course, we know that you are also very knowledgeable. Okay, Aliyah, what would you want him to respond to?
For the National Diaspora Day, which was
that was yesterday.
If you want to, should I say, nominate for Nigerians in diaspora, who would you nominate for Nigerians who are doing beautifully well, who are making impact, and of course, flying the Nigerian flag? Who would you want to nominate for?
Already, don't worry, you have been nominated. We have you on the list. You know, some other guys have nominated you as one of the Nigerians that, you know, one of the Nigerians doing very well in diaspora, who are worthy ambassadors. We are looking for 60 Nigeria at 60 diaspora icons. And I think I saw your name as one of those nominated. Do you have one or two people you think, you know, are bright, shining examples of Nigerians? Yeah.
A lot of Nigerians are doing great now. I see a lot of Nigerians.
Yes.
I go places.
Yes.
I've seen in Nigeria who is the captain. I've seen in the U.S. Navy. I've seen a lot of Nigerians doing great.
Mm.
But, like I said before, Dr. Olujinka Olutoyi, intentions, he still amazed me. A Nigerian doctor who is still the only doctor that successfully operated on an unborn baby in 2018.
Yeah.
You know, when I went to Texas and I heard that story, it put tears on my face that I'm glad he's a trailblazer. And I'm glad that he is in America, because if such guy had to be in Nigeria, he would not have been able to accomplish that in his life.
Mm.
So I would say that Dr. Olujinka Olutoyi.
He's already nominated. I can tell you that. He's already nominated. good.
So that's my... And I have another... A doctor, she was in Canada. She became the first Nigerian to be biomedical.
Mm.
You know, Dr. Adeola, she texted me yesterday to congratulate me on LinkedIn.
Mm.
We've been friends for a long time.
Can you please repeat the name, if you don't mind? The name?
Her name is Dr. Adeola.
Okay.
You want her full name?
Yes, please.
The name is Dr. Adeola Olubamiji.
Olubamiji. All right.
Yeah. She's currently in Indiana, U.S. She's the first female to have a PhD.
Mm-hmm.
So she had a biomedical engineering degree, a PhD in Canada.
Okay.
But she's currently working in a company now in Indiana. And I thought that was huge. That was
a huge
accomplishment for a female Nigerian to have been able to do that in Canada and currently now working in the U.S. Those are the two great Nigerians.
Okay.
I have to mention two names. I have a lot of Nigerians who are still doing great.
No, okay, yeah, no problem. You have the floor. You can mention, but let me just say to you, others that have been nominated: Case Lawal nominated, like I said, Dr. Olujinka Olutoyi nominated, Hakeem Olajuwon nominated, Kamsi Usman nominated, Anthony Joshua nominated, and I think Seal nominated. Quite a number of them. And yesterday was National Diaspora Day, and you know, I'm sure we'll be working with the Nigerians in Diaspora Commission to make all of these things work, so that we can celebrate Nigerians who are flying our flag high out there. Do you still have anyone you want to nominate?
And I have a lot of names, but I want to stay with those.
Okay, no problem. Okay, later we can get some of those nominations when we are not on air. Okay, another burning issue for Nigerians in diaspora. You've painted a picture that is not too, you know, glowing, you know, of Nigeria. We've talked about insecurity, we've talked about corruption. Now, we have a project, Nigerian Diaspora Votes Matter. Do you think it's time for Nigerians in the diaspora to participate in the electoral process in Nigeria?
I mean, Americans anywhere in the world participate in American election.
Mm.
So I don't see any reason why any Nigeria, because, you know, people always say that, you know, my father always tell me, Ilila Bosimoko.
Yes,
so
sir.
Because one day they will, and let me tell you a background story a little bit. Many people don't know. One of the reasons why the U.S. government established the visa lottery was, one of the reasons was because the research shows that over 85% foreigners, they go back to their country to retire after the labor in America.
Mm.
So let's bring them to America, let them work for us, let's use it to service our social security, because at the end of their life, they're going to return back to America, they're going to return back to their native country. That's what research shows. Research shows that 85% American immigrants retire back to their native country when they retire. So if Nigerians are in diaspora, because you have to understand that first and most importantly, the reason why these people left Nigeria was to seek greener pasture.
Mm.
So because Nigeria, we were graduates, we did everything that we are required to do, but unfortunately the system failed us, and we have to take our talent overseas. And at the end of the day, when we feel that we have acquired whatever we wanted to acquire, you know, they go back to Nigeria to rest. And I feel that if they're going to do that, they're going to be, they have to be involved in the election process. Secondly, I was listening to a clip yesterday by CNN about how much Nigerians in diaspora send to Nigerians every year.
Yes.
Billions of dollars.
Yes, please.
So you can understand from there that Nigerians in diaspora have a significant impact in Nigerian economy.
That's true.
So, and if they have that in the economy, I believe that they should also be involved in the electionary process of who governs them, because they are part of the system, because their penny, their sweat, their hard-earned money goes into the economy of Nigeria.
Yeah, that's true. That's correct. Yesterday was National Diaspora Day, and President Muhammadu Buhari quoted $25 billion, which is like 6% of the GDP, 80% of the budget of Nigeria comes into this country through diaspora remittances. That is huge. That is awesome. That is awesome. And of course, some other lady put it in a different way yesterday. She said, I think Abibola Junaid says, Nigerians in the diaspora are the social service of Nigeria, because they always say. Okay, before we let you go, let me just ask you, and I'm sure Ali also has one more question to go, but before you go, now everybody yesterday agreed that home is home, no place like home, everybody wants to come home. In your own case, in your own instance, even though you've alluded to it, if the Nigerian government calls you to come and serve, you know, would you be willing to come home to be part of service to your fatherland?
I mean, Nigeria is my home. I grew up there. I lived there. My parents were from Nigeria. You know, I've always believed in the spirit of Nigeria.
Mm.
You know, my wife is an American from Chicago. But when I first met my wife, I told her my dreams and visions about Nigeria. And many people didn't know that, and I was just telling somebody yesterday that I pray and fast for Nigeria, you know.
Mm.
Just want to see Nigeria move forward,
mm.
You know, just want to see Nigeria do great. I just want to make sure that Nigeria, you know, you want to be proud of it, you know. It's a great place to be. So, you know, I was telling my wife yesterday, she asked the same question yesterday. She said, what are you going to do if they call you to come and serve Nigeria? I said, I will do it. I will go, because that's my home. I will just resign my job and go back home. Well, she said, well, pray about it. I said, well, I already prayed about it. So, you know, but because that's where you build, that is your home. That is the place where you came. That is the place where you can tell your story, that this is where it all started.
Mm.
And I do know that some people, they left and they forget their origin. You know, that my father always tell me that, Odo, Tobagbagbe Orisunwe, Omagben.
That's true.
So we all have to remember the source. You know, even as a Christian, I read Bible, and the Bible says, look up to Abraham, look up to your source.
Mm.
God always has a reference to refer us back to our source.
Mm.
And it's pleased God to brought me, to make me come from Nigeria. And I always tell people, I know, Nigerian blood flows in my vein. You know, it doesn't matter how much success I've achieved in overseas, how much grace God has given me.
Mm.
I still, you know, you just see your people, you just know these are my people. You know, I still talk to my family every time I call them. You know, my friend was asking me the last time, he said, can you speak Djebu? I said, give me some Djebu.
Okay, give us some of the Djebu now. Give us some of the Djebu.
You know, I was telling back, he said, give me some Djebu. He better not give me some Djebu. So it doesn't matter whatever I do in life, it's still me. That's my definition.
Mm.
That is my source. So and it's a great honor to serve. But you have to remember that service is not, you know, I feel sad when I see Nigeria, somebody appointed as a minister and is celebrating because they all call it national cake. And I'm like, this is not a national cake. This is to serve, to provide for the future.
Wow.
For how long are we gonna be somebody who's going to be sidetracked? I mean, talking about bad about Nigerians, when Nigeria is one among the highest oil producers in the nation.
Mm.
We have all the resources. We have the bitumen. We have the oil. We have the steel. We have cocoa. We have everything. Talk about any resources that you can talk about. Nigeria has it all. So I want Nigeria to look inward. And if you can just have good people with good heart that we want to serve, you know, just serve people. And be a leader, not the devourer, because now we don't have leaders, we have devourers. And there's a difference between a leader and a devourer.
Mm.
Because a good leader have a succession plan and leave inheritance for people ahead, not consuming everything. So Nigeria need to change from being a consuming nation to a nation that provide for its people. I have the opportunity, I would love to serve. It's part of my childhood dream, which I've nurtured for a very long time. I've kept it to my heart. I've prayed about it, and it is what it is. I'm comfortable where I am, but I'm willing to serve as well.
All right, thank you. Very good. Just as an aside, yesterday we were speaking to Mr. Gbenga Musho, also a Nigerian in the diaspora. And just like you said, when they make someone a minister, they celebrate. He said they made someone a LASMA official and they were throwing a party in Nigeria.
It's a crying shame. We need to stop it.
Right.
All right, sir, in the process of the conversation, you mentioned something about having a first class in economics. Hello?
Yes, so, I did.
Yes, you mentioned that you had a first class in economics. So if you're going to proffer solutions as to Nigeria, the Nigerian economy, what would you say that can help better the Nigerian economy?
I mean, if you look at every developed nation, what drives the economy of a developed nation? Small businesses. You got to encourage small businesses. And how do you motivate, how do you incentivize small business? Even when you look at the coronavirus issue, the American Congress is talking about they are giving money to small businesses, because as long as the small businesses are still working and functioning, they drive the economy. So Nigerian government needs to know to drive Nigerian economy is to provide opportunity for the small businesses to grow. Then how do you grow small businesses? It goes back to what I said before. Provide stable power. Because if I have a small business and I have to buy gas to buy petrol to use generator, I'm losing money because of the cost. So provide power, provide good roads, and provide security of life and property. Because when I know, if I'm in diaspora, and I know that if I come to Nigeria and invest $5 million, my property will be secured, I will come. But when I know that one hoodlum can just come and burn down my company without no recourse to it, why do I want to come and spend all my hard-earned money just going flames? So to move the economy forward, we should shift our focus from oil. People forgot that America has oil, but that's not what drives the American economy. So small businesses, Nigeria need to know that they need to encourage small businesses. Nigeria have a lot of talent, business opportunity, they have a lot of business idea. Provide soft loans. You see now, if you look news, you go to sba.gov, Small Business Association of GOV, US Small Business Association of GOV. You see how the US government is giving soft loans to small businesses so that they can continue to grow and continue to produce, so that the economy can keep moving forward. So Nigeria need to take you on that. Let's promote small businesses. How do you promote them? Do not come on the news and said that we are giving $10 million to small businesses. Whether somebody is sharing $9 million out of it or five, and they're only giving $1 million to actually the small businesses.
Wow.
You don't grow businesses like that. If $10 million is distributed to the small businesses, let there be requirements, let those requirements are fulfilled, let there be no kickback, let there be no bribery, let there be no... Because you are giving somebody $1 million loan to go and start business. But you are saying, before I give you the $1 million, you must give me 500. How then did the guy invest in the business? You're already taking the money. You've taken the principal and the interest. That is the problem in Nigeria. So small business is what drives the economy. And Nigeria needs to invest in that. Encourage small businesses, provide resources, provide soft loans, provide capital, provide infrastructures, and then you will see how the economy will go forward.
All right, thank you very much. Nice way you've put it severally today. Many things, many quotable quotes from you. You've told us about the three things that will drive the economy, and of course 80% of Nigerians live in abject poverty. Quite a lot of things you've shared with us today, and we are so happy, very glad that we have the opportunity to speak with you. And we sincerely would love to appreciate you for this outing. And if you're just joining us or you're still listening to us, don't forget we have been talking with Lieutenant Victor Agunbiade, the award-winning exemplary accountability Nigerian patriotic industrialist, and of course an Ijebuma. Maybe that's why he knew how to handle the money. All right. Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you. It's still Spirit of Nigeria Radio, and we'll be talking with Lieutenant Victor Agunbiade, the exemplary Nigerian who accounted to every cent $45 million in the U.S. Navy. Thank you very much for being a part of the show today. I'm sure we'll call you soon again. Let's discuss some more. It's been very illuminating, but time is never our friend on Diaspora Discuss. And we have to go right now. Truly, truly appreciate it. I hope your wife eats Gary now that you are there.
That's our favorite food.
Ah, okay. Maybe she's originally from Ijebu too.
I think so.
All right. Thank you very much, and we'll leave you with this beautiful piece of music, Kotsi Ebenezer Obi. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you, Ali. I appreciate you guys.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. All right.
ori mi olara lati ba eso eda mi olara lati ba eso ori je ki lowo ori je ki bimo ori je ki lowo ori je ki bimo ori je ki lalafia o ogun oro alafia ni baba.
Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.